Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. And thank you that you have called us. Thank you for honoring us by calling us. We also recognize that it's a sign of the great mercy that you have shown unto us. Tonight we are here in this times of impartation service, desiring to be imparted by your Spirit. I want to thank you for everyone who made it to this service. And thank you also for all the others who have joined in online. And it is my prayer that the purpose of this service will be achieved in the name of Jesus, which is that every single one of us will receive a touch from you. And right now, as your word is about to come forth, we pray for the spirit of revelation, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of understanding. May we all be greatly affected by your word. Thank you that you sent forth your word to heal us and to deliver us from our destruction. And not only that, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. And thank you that your word is quick and sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the spirit and of the soul, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And thank you that every scripture is profitable to those who hear it, and is profitable unto doctrine, unto correction, unto reproof, and unto instruction in righteousness. I know that all these things will be achieved and accomplished in our lives today. In the mighty name of Jesus have we prayed with thanksgiving. And let the people of God say amen. Say amen again. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to share with you a message. I'm certain that I will not complete it, and I don't know how long it will run for. But the title of this series is Profitable Unto the Master. Profitable Unto the Master. And would you please turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we are reading from verse number 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Reading from verse 9. To verse 11, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You, and this Mark is also the one who wrote the gospel according to Saint Mark. Then it continues and it says, for he is very helpful to me for the ministry. For he is very helpful to me for the ministry. Again, I want to read another version, the New American Standard Bible. It says, only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. For he is useful to me for service. So, if you can, underline that word profitable or helpful, or useful, depending, of course, on the version of the Bible that you are using. So profitable, everybody say profitable. Then helpful, everybody say helpful. In fact, say very helpful. And then say useful. Everybody say useful. Hallelujah. Now, profitable is from a Greek word. That word is eucrestos. Eucrestos. It sounds like a powerful name that you can give to your son or to your daughter. So if you want to give an unusual name, you can call your new son Eucrestus. Or if it's a girl, you can also call her Eucrestus. And the short form is Eucre. Now, it means useful, easy to make use of, helpful, assisting, beneficial, effective, productive, fruitful, serviceable, and then valuable. So these are 10 different meanings of the word profitable as translated from the Greek word eucrestos. I ran through them again. It means useful, easy to make use of, helpful, assisting, beneficial, effective, productive, fruitful, serviceable, and valuable. Hallelujah. So John Mark, who was not one of the disciples, he came along later on, or perhaps not even later on, but he was around, but he was not one of the disciples. You must understand that there were a lot of other people who were around. They were not part of the initial 12. So perhaps he was part of the 70. I haven't done any thorough study to know exactly where he was at. Or maybe he was part of the 120, but he was certainly around. And he must have been around for him to be able to write that gospel according to Mark. Amen. All right. And here in the verses we looked at from the different versions of the Bible, we see that Paul describes him as profitable or helpful or useful. The interesting thing is that some time ago, once upon a time, Paul was not happy with him at all. Let me show you. Acts chapter 15, and reading from verse 36. Acts chapter 15, and reading from verse 36 to 41. This time I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Thank you very much. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing." Now, Paul and Barnabas were involved in a number of missionary journeys. And after traveling around a bit, Paul suggested to Barnabas that let's go back to some of the places we went to and let's see how the new believers are doing. So it was a kind of follow-up visit. Now, Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. So John Mark used to be with them as they traveled around, but along the line he felt homesick and decided to go back. And Paul was not happy about that at all, because I'm sure he felt that once he had put his hand to the plow, he should have continued all the way through. So here you can see that a disagreement was about to develop between Paul and Barnabas. The Bible says their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. And it was over this John Mark guy. Paul and Barnabas were a team. It was actually Barnabas who helped to endorse Paul and recommended him and introduced him along the line. But here, because of John Mark, they had entered into a sharp disagreement and they actually separated. But you see, I think that it was all part of God's work and God's plan for them. Because Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. And then Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Then he traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. So because of their disagreement, they split up. But the good thing that came out of that was that different places were visited at the same time. And there was a division of labor. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you here? All right. So you can see here that there was a time when John Mark was, I beg your pardon, there was a time when Paul was not happy with John Mark at all, because he abandoned them along the line. But here, from what we just read in his letter to Timothy, he asked that John Mark should be sent to him. And I like how he described him. He said, he is profitable unto me. And remember, that means that he's useful. And he's very helpful to me. Hallelujah. Now, the opposite of being profitable, of course, is to be unprofitable or disadvantageous and even useless. So if you are not profitable, you may actually find yourself at a place where you are useless. And in the Bible, there are places where you see that certain people were seen as useless. For example, Matthew chapter 25, reading verse 29 to 30. We will come to Matthew 25 again as we proceed. But in Matthew chapter 25, and in this portion that we're about to read, it tells of the story of the talents. And I'm sure that you are familiar with that story. A lord or a master was about to travel. He called three servants. He gave to one 5 talents. He gave to another 2 talents. And he gave one talent. Now, the 5 talents guy and the 2 talents guy traded or invested what they were given and earned more, 5 and 2 respectively. But the 1 talent guy did nothing with what he was given, and his lord or his master was very bored with him. So he asked that what he was given should be taken away from him and given to the 5 talents guy. Now, this is what the Bible says in verse 29 to 30 of Matthew 25. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. So this is a principle that you should know about. That if you do well with what you've been given, there is a likelihood that you'll be given more. And then you will enter into abundance and enter into increase. Can I have an amen from somebody? But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now look at what he says in verse 30. Now throw this useless servant. Everybody say useless servant. Useless. That's how the Bible is describing him. Throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There were 3 servants. 2 of them were obviously profitable. But the third one was described as useless. He was not profitable. He didn't serve any good purpose. And so he was described as useless. Hallelujah. Now, this reminds me, many years ago, in my family house at Medina, when we were growing up, we had a cat. I cannot remember what name we gave to that cat. It's been a long time ago. But I can remember a few things about that cat. That cat was a useless cat. We got that cat to solve the mice problem in the house. I don't recall that he caught even one mouse. In fact, one of my brothers swore that what he used to do was to connive with the mice to eat our stuff. Yeah, so that's what one of my brothers actually said. So this cat that we got to serve a purpose did not serve that purpose and was a useless cat. Wow. I have a cat in my house currently. His name is Joy. And I am watching it closely because I have seen this useless cat syndrome before. I went in for this cat. He actually came with a sister. Was it a girl? What name did you guys give to it? Esther is the one who gave the names. I can't remember. Esther decided to give them names. She called the male Joy. And the other one, I can't remember. But that one died. So it's left with just Joy. And I'm watching him closely to see, because, you know, you remember when church used to be at the other side, sometimes when we are having service, you see lizards running all over the place. And I used to get a lot of revelation that some church members were not in church, but the lizard came to church. So is the lizard not more profitable? I got that card because I wanted the lizard problem to be solved. Because I remember from my days in a family house at Medina that because we had cats, later on we got some other cats, because of that, you could not find a lizard in the house. But when they see that, they would chase it and kill it right away. Lizards and wall geckos. All right. Now, I don't think Joy has killed any lizard yet. I actually saw something on the porch. Oh, was it a lizard? Oh, hallelujah. Joy is a useful cat. It's a profitable cat. Put your hands together for my Joy. Hallelujah. It has actually killed a lizard. So there's yet hope for him. Amen. Now, I will have you understand, my dear friends, that every child of God, every believer, and every Christian must strive to become profitable or useful or helpful to our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to say it again. Every child of God, how many children of God are here today? How many children of God are watching me? If you're watching me and a child of God, lift your hand up in your room right where you are. All right? Every child of God, every believer, how many believers are in the house? Every Christian, how many Christians are in the house? Must strive. That means must work very hard and do everything that you can to be profitable or useful or helpful in the service of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. So when I talk about being profitable unto the Master, I am talking specifically of our Lord and Savior and Master Jesus Christ. He is the one who saved us. And he saved us at a great cost. And he demands of each and every one of us that we will be profitable unto him. Lift up your hand and say, I will be profitable to my master. Say it again. Say it for the third time. I will be profitable to who? To my master. And to be profitable unto him, there are certain things that you must understand and you must grasp. The first one. One of the ways you can distinguish between Christians is in the area of profitability or usefulness. One of the ways we can distinguish between Christians or believers or church members is in the area of profitability or usefulness. There are those who are useful or profitable, and there are those who are not. So it is one of the ways you can distinguish between Christians, believers, children of God, church members. There are different ways you can, categorize Christians and believers. This is one of them. And it is in the area of profitability or usefulness. Because I can see that in Christendom, there is one group that is very profitable unto the master. And there is another group that is not profitable. And in that group are those who are totally useless. And I hate to say that, but it is true. So it is one of the ways that you can distinguish between Christians. And it is in the area of profitability or usefulness. Hallelujah. The second thing that you must understand as we focus on being profitable unto the master is that the master has an expectation of us that we will be profitable and useful to him. The master has an expectation of us that we will be profitable and useful to him. Can you say with me, my master has an expectation of me that I will be profitable and useful to him. Hallelujah. So it's something you must understand as we delve deeper into this subject of profitability unto the master, that your Lord and your master Jesus Christ, the God you serve, actually has an expectation of you that you will be profitable unto him. Luke chapter 13, please. And reading verse 6 to 9 of Luke chapter 13. It says, then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig or fruit on this tree. He said to the gardener, cut it down. Do what? Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year, and I will give special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. Hallelujah. So here we see that the owner of the garden had an expectation. He had an expectation of the trees in his garden. And the Bible says he planted a fig tree in his garden. And he had an expectation that that fig tree will bear fruits. That means it will be useful. Or it will be profitable. Or he will get some benefits from it. Because when you are profitable and useful, we derive some benefits from you. Is that not so? Yeah. But he kept coming, the Bible says, again and again. And each time he came, he did not find any fruit on the tree. And he was disappointed. The reason why he kept coming again and again, because he had an expectation. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says we are God's garden. You and I, we are God's garden. So that means that you and I are like trees in God's garden. And God has an expectation of each one of us who is a tree in his garden. The expectation is that we will be useful, we'll be profitable, we will bear fruits, and we will be beneficial to him. So in this story, you can see that he kept coming over and over again and didn't get any fruit. So he gave an instruction to the gardener that cut that tree down. It's useless. It's not benefiting me in any way. But this gardener put in a word and a plea for the tree that let me try a bit more. Let me prune it a bit. Let me give it some more fertilizer. Let me pay some special attention to it. If a year by this time it bears fruit, then you will be happy. But if it doesn't, then I'll go ahead and cut it down. I am helping a friend of mine with his farm somewhere in the central region. I go there now and again to check things out and to see how things are going. Now, there are a lot of coconut trees in the farm. The first time we got there, we noticed that some of the trees, coconut trees, were not doing well. And we tried to identify why they were not doing well. We realized that the original owner of the garden, didn't really maintain it well. So a lot of weeds, especially these creeping plants, had come up and were hindering some of the coconut trees from doing well. So there were a number of them in that situation. So the gentleman who is managing the farm, we gave him an instruction that we need to weed the place and get rid of all these creeping plants and try and gain control over this farm. And let's do some work on the coconut trees. Let's spray them with pesticides. Let's do what we can, because we saw that some of them were diseased. There were some pests that were disturbing it from growing well. So we did all of that. Yesterday, I was on the farm, and I noticed that some of the trees were still not doing well. There were others that we worked on, that we treated, that had now borne fruits and were doing well. But there were others that were not doing well at all. And so yesterday, I gave an instruction. Cut them down. Do what? Cut them down. Why? Because they are just occupying space. And they are useless. They are not serving any purpose. The trees were not planted for decoration. I don't know of anybody who plants coconut trees for decoration. Maybe some people may. But if you are looking for a decorative tree, you plant royal palm. That looks like coconuts. But you're not likely to plant coconut trees for decoration. You plant it. Why? Because you want to eat what? Akoshi. Do you know what akoshi is? It's coconuts. So I get the instruction. Cut them down. And there are quite a number of them. And I suspect that today the process started. So I can relate well with this story that I just read to you. The owner had an expectation, but the expectation was not being met. And the point that I am trying to get you to understand is that your Lord and my Lord, your master and my master, has an expectation of each and every one of us that we will be profitable and that we will be useful to him. It's an expectation. And it's even a demand that he places on each and every one of us. And he has every right to demand us to be profitable unto him, because it cost him a hefty price to be able to save us. Hallelujah. So anytime you move along in this Christian race, constantly remind yourself that your master has an expectation of you, that you'll be profitable to him, and that you'll be useful in his service and helpful in his kingdom. Ask the nearest person sitting by you, are you profitable? Are you useful? Are you helpful to the master? And don't just ask a rhetoric question. Demand an answer. What did they say? Perhaps you should assess the person you ask. Maybe you've seen him or her around for some time. So find out whether the person is useful. Let's look at another story. And I told you that I'll be getting back to this. So this is Matthew chapter 25 and the story of the talents once again. Matthew 25, reading from verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver or 5 talents to one, 2 bags of silver or 2 talents to another, and 1 bag of silver or 1 talent to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Let me make a note here. We are all the children of God, but our abilities are not the same. This is something that we shouldn't struggle with. And in every field of pursuit, in every area, you find out that abilities differ. And there are those who have a greater ability than others. So if you take football, for example, there are many footballers we know. But there are those who are very outstanding. For example, who? Why? Lionel Messi. He scored 3 goals in a match a few days ago. And he's 37 years old. He scored 3. And then he set up 2 more goals for his mates. Very exceptional. Another one is Cristiano Ronaldo, who didn't score this week. And it pained him very much. But I could see that he was very bold that he couldn't score. But I didn't see that with the rest of the other players of the Portugal national team. And the reason is because he's exceptional. He's different. His abilities are at a higher level. If you come to the medical field, there are doctors and there are doctors. There are some doctors who have earned a reputation of being top of their field. Lawyers, it is same. Teachers. I mean, there are some teachers you still remember up to today. Is that not so? Which of your teachers do you remember? What is his name? James, do you have a teacher you can remember? Oh, all your teachers were stankers. I have teachers I can remember. Like in secondary school, I can remember my physics teacher, Tyrone. It was a guy who had a speech defect, but he was a very amazing teacher. Yeah. And he made me fall in love with physics even more. Some of my mates used to laugh at him when he talks. You say, the root of the square of the mean of the velocity of the particle. And then they'll be laughing at him. But he was a good teacher. I can remember him. Yeah. Primary school, I can remember a teacher called Mr. Shandoff. at South Labadi Estates, South Labadi Experimental Primary. It was a school my mother was a headmistress at. And I had a teacher. This was class 4, class 5. His name was Mr. Shandoff. I remember him because he was a good teacher. All right? So, in every field, there are those who are exceptional. And so, abilities are not the same. And we should never struggle with it, because you will discover that those who have greater abilities seem to get more things entrusted to them than those who don't have, good abilities. It's not a problem. What you have is given to you based on your ability. Now, if we understand this, there wouldn't be any confusion, competition, and envy around. Hallelujah. Like, if you take the choir here, it is very clear to me, because I have a strong musical background, that Trula has a greater ability than everybody else. So, it should not be a surprise that she seems to sing more and lead more songs than the rest of them. There are others that are also very good. But I'm explaining to you that the abilities vary. And it's not just that the person has the ability, but the person works hard. Do you understand? Because I have different people that I give songs to. She's the one who constantly and regularly works on the songs and ministers them. With some of the others, I don't get that from them. I still love them. I haven't given up on them. But I'm not expecting any of them to develop an attitude, because Trula is being used more. Why have you developed an attitude? Why? Because it is obvious that you are not at the same level. And it's not a problem. It is not a problem. It doesn't mean that you are not useful. It doesn't mean that you cannot be profitable. But you must recognize that the abilities are different. Hallelujah. Have I said something to help somebody today? Yeah. Because you may be quarreling with somebody at the workplace and you are bored with your boss for the benefits that seem to be going to one particular worker. The reason why it is happening is because that worker is working better and has a greater ability. And there are some things that are entrusted to that worker. If they are entrusted to you, you can't do. So don't be bored. Don't be bored at all. I mean, I remember some years ago when I was in the university, I was one of the choir leaders. You know, we had a group, Gospel Explosion. And I was part of the music directorate. I was the choir director. I used to teach the songs and everything. There was one particular girl. She used to complain and talk a lot that, why is it that there's one particular sister is the one who is leading most of the songs? She made so much noise about it. So I decided that, come, you two, take this song and work on it. We'll come for rehearsal. And then you sing the song, and then we'll take it from there. It was a fiasco. She wasn't a bad singer, but she was not at a certain level. It was a fiasco. And she ended up crying, because she herself realized that, I shouldn't have made an issue about this. And from that day, she became very humble. She became very daring. Humble. That's it. And you don't need to have to go through certain things and have things pointed out to you before you understand and appreciate that abilities are different. So I just stressed on this to make a point to you. I hadn't planned to say this, but as I was reading through it, I felt that the Spirit of God was stirring up my heart to talk about that. So whoever it is meant for, receive it well and have a good attitude. Can I have an amen? The servant who received the 5 bags of silver, verse 16, began to invest the money and earned 5 more. He was profitable. Is that not so? He was given how many? 5. And he earned how many more? 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. You can also see with him that he was also profitable. The first one had 5 because he had a greater ability. He had 2 because he had a lesser ability. But the Bible says the servant who received the 1 bag of silver or the 1 talent dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. He didn't do anything with it. He didn't invest it. He didn't trade with it. He did absolutely nothing with what he was given. After a long time, verse 19, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. So you can see that he had an expectation. He had what? An expectation. He did not just give them the money and went away and forgot about it. As soon as he got back, he summoned them and he called them to give an account of how they had used his money. That means that he had an expectation. And ladies and gentlemen, the Lord in this story represents our Lord and Savior and Master Jesus Christ. We are the servants. And I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God has an expectation of each and every one of us. Get that into your head and get that into your spirit. He has an expectation of each and every one of us. That he's expecting us to be profitable. Some may be more profitable than others. But his expectation is that every child of his will be profitable. Everybody say profitable. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. He was happy and excited because his expectation had been met. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." So you discover that people who do well are given more responsibilities. So if you work at a place and you realize that your responsibilities are being reduced, it should tell you something about yourself, that you are not a good worker. And you should be worried. You should be worried if you work at a place or you even serve in the house of God and you are not being given more responsibilities. It should reveal something about yourself to you, which is that I'm not a very profitable person. That's why they are even looking for an opportunity to take away from me what has been entrusted to me. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master," verse 22, "you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Take note that exactly what was said to the 5 talents guy was repeated to the 2 talents guy. Same words. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount." And for each instance, he called it small amount. The 5 talents amount, he called it small. The 2 talents amount, he also called it small. And he went on, "I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." So what was said to the 5 talents guy, the one who did exceptionally well, the same recommendation given to him was given to his colleague who had less, who had 2 talents. Now, what this means, and you've heard me say it before, but I'm repeating it. Because sometimes you have to say things over and over again before it sinks in. The one talent guy, who we already know, didn't do anything with what he was given, but to bury it. And when the master called for him to account, he just went to dig out what he was given and brought it back to the master. There was no profit. If he had also used his one talent or one bag of silver and had earned even one more, what was said to the 5 talents guy, what was said to the 2 talents guy, would have been said to him as well. And what you must understand is that when we stand before God, it is not really going to be about the quantum of what he gave to you. I mean, the quantum is important. But it appears to me that the most pertinent issue will be, were you faithful? My friend Apostle Apienin has a statement he makes often, and when he says, we laugh. He said, when we stand before God, the question will be one. What I asked you to do, did you do it? In other words, were you faithful with what I entrusted to you? That's what it is. That's what it is. So what God is expecting of us is that we will be faithful with what he has given to us. Whether it's a major assignment, whether it is a small assignment. If your assignment is to open doors, you must be faithful with it. If your assignment is to clean the church, you must be faithful with it. If your assignment is to play a musical instrument, you must be faithful with it. If your assignment is to put up the lyrics and the scriptures on the screen and do the projection, you must be faithful with it. If your assignment is and your work and your responsibility is to set up the place for service, you must be faithful with it. If your assignment is to take the video coverage of the service, you must be faithful with it. If your assignment is to stand at the doorways and welcome people to church, you must be faithful with it. Whether it is a big assignment or a small assignment, one thing is required of each and every one of us, and that will be the basis of our rewards: faithfulness. May I remind you again that what was said to the 5 talents guy was repeated to the 2 talents guy, and by extension, just by a logical analysis, would have been said to the 1 talent guy also. But he missed out on being promoted and lifted up when his master came, because he was not profitable. He was useless. And I read the scripture also to point out something to us, that our Lord and Master has an expectation of us. He has an expectation of us. And his expectation is that we'll be profitable unto him. So you've known the Lord for many, many years. You've been born again for quite some time now. Question: are you profitable unto the master? How long have you been in this church for? Are you profitable? And when I go on with the series, you will see different areas or the different aspects of profitability. That means the different areas where you can be profitable. So you may not be doing this, but you are doing this. Whatever it is you are doing, whatever area you are functioning in, there is one thing that must be paramount on your mind. I must be profitable to my master. I must be profitable to him. The sad thing is that most Christians are not profitable. That's a fact. And I say it without apology. Because for somebody who has worked with the Lord for many, many years, I must have seen a lot of things. I must have related with a lot of people. I have pastored people for many, many years. Small church, large church. And one of the things I have seen and noticed is that many Christians, many believers are not useful to the master. They are saved, all right. They are born again, all right. But no benefits. No benefits. Even the little that they can do, it's a problem. So to God, it's almost like these are useless. May I remind you of the earlier story that I read to you, where the owner of the garden, the one who planted the fig tree and came and saw that there were no fruits on it, he got to a point and he gave the instruction, cut it down. That instruction was not carried out immediately because there was a kind gardener who had feelings for the fig tree and wanted to try again and again. And ladies and gentlemen, God has tried again and again and again and again and again on us. Perhaps the gardener there represents the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is working on us to make us fruitful. And he's done so much. Perhaps the reason why a certain sentence hasn't yet been pronounced on us is because the Holy Spirit is speaking. The gardener can also be the Lord Jesus himself, actually, because he's the one who ever liveth to make intercession for us. So we can say that the owner is God the Father. And Jesus at his right hand is at his right hand side interceding for us. So depending on how you look at it, the gardener in the story can be Christ or can be the Holy Spirit. And they are constantly making a plea to the Father, give him another chance. Give him another chance. But I want you to understand that a time comes when there are no more chances. A time comes like that. How can you be in the house of God for all these years? You've not developed, you've not advanced in the service of the Lord. And even the little that you're doing, cry, you are not doing it well. I'm talking about being profitable. I mean, who goes into business and doesn't have an expectation of, I want to have a lot of profit? I mean, it's very unusual to find somebody who is doing a business and all that you get in a day is 2 CDs. And you are just happy. You are just happy. Yeah, it's 2 CDs and all that. But anybody who goes into business has an expectation that I want to make a lot of profit. So let's hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. God has an expectation that will be profitable unto him. Profitable in his service. For many Christians, they are holding back. There's a lot they can do, but they don't do it. Sometimes they are doing it, but it's with a lot of complaints, memory. Sometimes it's like you have to even beg people to come and do certain things. Why must the pastor of the church be the one to set up the church for service every Sunday? Of course, a pastor should know how to do all those things. But if you have church members, why is it that it is the one who is coming to preach who must come and arrange chairs and set up? And of course, as leaders also, we must give opportunity for people to do things. That's also a very important thing. Because sometimes the problem may be that leaders don't want to give people opportunity to do certain things. They want to do it themselves. That one is also a problem. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, why should there be a church and there's a pastor of the church and is the one who is always there to set up? Something isn't right. Where are the members? There is nobody in the church who can take it up upon himself and herself that every Sunday I will come and set up this place for service. There's nobody like that. The pastor has to come and do it himself. Wow. Then when he finishes, he's the one who is going to preach. Something isn't right. And there's something wrong with a lot of us Christians. And these are like the basic, these are some of the basic things that God expects of us. But it is not being done. And I pray that what the Spirit of God is saying to us will sink deeply into our hearts and into our spirits, that we'll begin to rise up to become more profitable to the Master than we ever have before. He or she that has ears, let him or her hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Shall we pray? We are thankful to you tonight for your word. I pray in the name of Jesus, let this word do a great work in our hearts, resulting in a change and a transformation. You've been so good to us, Lord Jesus. You are our Lord and our Master. But if we look at our service to you and what we do in your house, it is not enough. And what we are doing is not commensurate with the price that you paid to save us. But I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone under the sound of my voice will enter into a new season of profitability and of usefulness in the house of God. Instead of looking for ways to cut down responsibilities and duties, may we become eager, may we become open to being given more things to do, because the Master expects us to be profitable unto him. Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.